The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, that's Psalms 110 and 1, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Look at verse 3 now. This is where we're keying in tonight. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for what we have already received in this service. We have been blessed by your presence from the very opening prayer. Lord, you have been in this house and your presence has been strong. We're grateful for it. Tonight, Lord, as we come to the Word of God, we pray for the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, that you will cause this Word to come alive in our hearts, Lord, that it would not just be material to be known, but it be a life to be lived. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And then amen. Psalms 110 and verse 3 said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. A day of God's power. If I had a title tonight, that's what the title would be to this message. A day of God's power. Psalm 62 and 11 says, God hath spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Psalms 21 and 13 said, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Matthew 28 and 18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Friends, listen, church. If there's one thing tonight that's indisputable, it is that our God is a God of power. Oh, hallelujah. Our God is a God of might and dominion. There's nothing he cannot do. He can bring rivers of water out of a rock. He can divide the Red Sea with the breath of his nostrils, what the scripture says. He can cause the sun and the moon to stand still. He can calm the raging storm with a word. He can burn cancer out of a body. He can open blind eyes. He can deliver the drug addict and the alcoholic. He can restore broken marriages. The Bible says all things are possible to him that believeth. Our God can do anything. He is a God of power. He's a God of might. Our text that I read to you tonight said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Now that makes a distinction tonight that although God is all powerful, there is what is recognized as a day of his power. A day of his power. A day, when speaking to this text tonight, does not specifically mean 24 hours. It's not speaking of a 24-hour period, but rather it's speaking of a time or a period of visitation, of revelation and manifestation. And it's saying that when there is a visitation of the presence of God with revelation and manifestation of his power, it produces a willingness of heart. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. There are all kinds of powers in the earth. There's hydropower, which is water power. There's steam power. There's battery power. There's electrical power. There's solar power. There's wind power. There's nuclear power. But there are only two sources of supernatural power, and they are the power of God, and they are the power of Satan. The power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, and the power of Satan. Friends, let me tell you something tonight. The only way we can be effective against the supernatural power of Satan is to be filled with and an orashata and anointed with the supernatural power of God. Glory to God. We must have the power of the Holy Ghost active and operating in our lives. We can sing about it. We can preach about it. We can talk about it. We can teach about it. We can shout about it. And still people remain slothful and cold and indifferent. But a day of God's power. Somebody say a day of God's power. A day of God's power changes everything. A visitation, a revelation, a manifestation of the power of God causes the heart to do willingly what it had previously done only partially or half-heartedly or grudgingly before. When the power of God shows up, people pray willingly. They sing willingly. They give willingly. They attend church willingly. They read the Bible willingly. Hey, hallelujah. They don't have to be begged. They don't have to be pumped and primed. They don't have to be wooed. They don't... Hallelujah. They are willing, and that word willing means spontaneous and voluntarily and freely and plentifully or generously. Let me say it this way. Let me just deal with it from this standpoint. When Samson's foxes, you remember the Bible says he caught 300 foxes. He ties them tail to tail by pairs. And so you have 150 pairs of foxes that Samson has put together tail to tail, 300 total. And he set their tails on fire. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo! Now, when those tails got on fire, nobody had to tell them to run. They did it willingly. Glory to God. What we need in 2016 like never before is we need a day of God's power. The Bible said it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We need a day of God's power. Power means strength. It means might. It means energy. It means ability. It means strength. It means energy to make a difference and to make a change in a situation. Can I just tell it to you like this? Power is not power until it makes a difference. Until it makes a difference. As I said, there are all kinds of powers in the earth. There's nuclear power, atomic power, hydro power, steam, electrical power. And power is the ability to make a change or change things or make a difference. Now, friend, listen to me, and I want you to look at somebody and tell them to say, neighbor,
you were
created
for the power of God.
Oh, hallelujah. Now tell them again. Say, neighbor,
you were created
for the power of God. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Listen, church. As a fish was created to live in the water, we were created to live in the atmosphere of the supernatural power of God. Woo! Shabbalamasata. Hallelujah. As a fish living on land would be unnatural and abnormal and impossible, truthfully, so is it unnatural and abnormal to be called a Christian and have no fire of God in our lives and have no taste or desire for the supernatural presence and power of God. Everybody say, a day of God's power. We can tell the world we have power. We can talk about the Holy Ghost, even speak in tongues. But if it hasn't changed our lives, if it hasn't made a difference between us and the world, my friend, it's just talk. We recognize the power of God in the Word of God because it always made a difference when it showed up. It always changed the situation. God looked into the darkness and said, let there be light, and there was light. Jesus looked at death and said, let there be life, and there was life. Jesus looked at the storm and said, peace be still, and there was peace. Jesus looked at the leper and he said, be clean, and instantly the leper was made clean. Jesus spit into the dirt, made a little mud ball, rubbed it into a blind man's eyes, and he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And a man who had never seen the flowers or the sunset or looked into his mama's face, he came back with perfect sight. What am I telling you? That was a day of God's power. That was a time of visitation, of revelation and manifestation when Jesus walked the earth. In Exodus chapter 29, when God came down on Mount Sinai with fire and smoke, and the Bible says the sound of a trumpet blasting. So terrible was the sight and the sound that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and tremble. Oh, hallelujah. Even Moses, who was used to the presence of God, who loved being in the presence of God, there was such a magnificent and such an awesomeness about this. Do you realize what I'm saying? There was a supernatural sound of a trumpet that was blasting, and the people heard it. And the Bible said that the mountain was on fire and smoke, and the mountain trembled. Friend, that was a day of God's power. And when that manifestation happened, the people showed up, and all they said was this: just tell us what to do and we'll do it. Woo! Thy people shall be willing in a day of thy power. Glory to God. In 2 Chronicles 5:12-14, the Bible says, also the Levites, which were singers, all of them, of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, they stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpets and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. The Bible says, then, oh hallelujah, the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. Oh, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Oh hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Then it comes down, 2 Chronicles 7:1-5. When Solomon had made an end of praying, fire came down from heaven. It consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices. The glory of the Lord filled the house. The priest could not get into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. There was no room for him to even come in the church. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement. They worshiped, they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. Friend, that was a day of God's power when the glory of God showed up in the house and the priest could not even get in the church house. Glory to God. They came to the door and said, we want to go inside. They tried to get in and it was already full. Hallelujah. It was a full house. What was the glory of God had filled the house. Hallelujah. Same thing happened to Moses when the tabernacle was finished. The Bible said Moses could not enter into the tabernacle because the glory of the Lord had filled the tabernacle. What would it be like, my friend, to come to church on Wednesday night and walk up to the door and grab hold of the door and try to walk in the house of God and you can't get in because the glory of the Lord had filled the house, because there's such a thick presence of God and such a richness of the glory of God that you couldn't even get in. I said, what are we going to do? How are we going to have church? We'll just have church outside. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. He's an awesome God. When Elijah called down fire from heaven, it fell, consumed the offering and the sacrifice, the altar, the wood, the stones, the water, the dust. All the people fell on their faces. Friend, listen, this was a bunch of rebellious, backslid people. Amen. That were following a witch, Jezebel, in idol worship, Baal worship. And here they were when the power of God showed up. When the fire fell from heaven, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is the God. Woo! The Lord, he is the God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That was a day of God's power. When God visited 120 in an upper room in Jerusalem, and he filled them with the Holy Ghost and fire. That was a day of God's power. When God visited a humble shack on a little back street called Azusa in Los Angeles, California, and filled his people with the Holy Ghost and fire, and set revival fires around the world. That was a day of God's power. When the glory of God fell on Father's Day 1995, continued to fall in an Assembly of God church in Pensacola, Florida, until more than 4 million people from around the world had been impacted by it, been into that very church, nearly 200,000 souls swept into the kingdom. That was a day of God's power. That was a period of time, a visitation, a revelation, and a manifestation of the power of God. I don't know about you, my friend, but I believe we're overdue for a day of God's power. Thy people shall be willing in the day of your power. Oh, we want the power of God. So what is it going to take to have another day of God's power? Number one, it's going to take hunger. Spiritual hunger. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God has not promised to fill everyone. He said in the last days he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, but only those who hunger and thirst will be filled. Spiritual hunger. If we're going to see a day of God's power, there must be a hunger. There must be a spiritual hunger. I read a book one time and it was entitled that. As a matter of fact, it was called Spiritual Hunger by a man of God, a true man of God. His name is John G. Lake. Powerful man of God, John G. Lake. He walked into his sister's house one day, and when he walked in, he smelled something that smelled so good, and he was so hungry. And he looked over there and he saw this bread on the counter. And he just smelled it. Oh, it smells so good. And so he just went over there and he just started chewing that, eating that bread up, man, like cornbread. I mean, he was so hungry and it smelled so good. And you know, he just chewed it. He said in his book, he said it was a little gritty, but he said he was so hungry, he just chewed it all up. And he just ate it. So after he ate it, his sister comes in the back door and she looks and he's talking about the bread, and you know, and then she said, "No, John," she said, "you didn't eat that, did you?" He said, "Why, sis?" She said, "Because that's the cow's bread. That's the bread we give the cows. It's got corn all ground up in it. It's got those corn cobs all ground up in other scraps of food." He said, "Well, I thought it was a little gritty." "But I was so hungry." See, I'm telling you, when you get real hungry, the Bible says that to the hungry soul, even the bitter thing is sweet. When you get real hungry, you can even handle the tough stuff, glory to God. When you get real hungry, you don't get upset every time somebody says something about you. When you get real hungry, you can even take a rebuke from the pulpit. When you get real hungry, oh, you can even take some correction. When you get real hungry, even the bitter stuff is sweet. He was so hungry, David felt that same spiritual hunger. He said in Psalm 63, 1 and 2, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsteth for you. My flesh longeth for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary." David said, "I'm thirsty and I'm hungry. I want to see a day of your power." Glory to God. I want to see a day of your power. Isaiah felt that same spiritual hunger. It began with just a desire to know that God was watching over him. We read it in Isaiah 63:15. It begins like this. He says, "Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and thy glory. Where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained?" He said, "Lord, I just got to know, are you seeing me?" Have you ever felt that way? He said, "Lord, do you see me?" How many of you ever saw that show, The Invisible Man? Yeah, they used years and years ago, had a show called The Invisible Man. And you couldn't see him because he was invisible. The only way you know he's anywhere around is he put his glasses on, or he put some clothes on his invisible body, then you can see the clothes, you can see his glasses. Have you ever felt like sometimes you're just invisible, you know? You got to put something on so God know you're there. Hello, Lord. So but just to know that God was looking. But his hunger kept growing until he could no longer be satisfied just to know God was watching him, and it turned into something more powerful. In Isaiah 64, 1 and 2, it says it this way. He said, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down." Woo! One time it was enough just to know you were looking. At one time it was enough just to know that your eye was on the sparrow, and I know that you're watching me. But his hunger just kept growing. And he said, "Oh God, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains may flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence." I don't know about you tonight, friend, but I'm hungry for a day of God's power. Like David, my soul is thirsty and my flesh longs to see the power and the glory of God in the sanctuary. Is there anybody in this house tonight, like Isaiah, would say, "Lord, rend the heavens and come down"? Woo! Shalalalabakata. Come on, just lift your hands right now. I feel God stirring something in this house. I feel a stirring in this house. Oh God, we're glad to know that you're looking. But looking is not enough, Lord. It's more than that, God. We're hungry and we're thirsty, Lord. We want a visitation and a manifestation of your power. We want the habitation of God through the Spirit. We want you to rend the heavens and come down. We want you to fill the house with your glory. Fill the house with your glory. Fill the house. It's going to take hunger. Number two, it's going to take holiness. If we're going to see a day of God's power in the church in our lives, we're going to have to sanctify ourselves. I know in the day and hour we live in, that sounds old-fashioned, but in fact, it's the old paths that lead us to His power. Joshua 3 and 5, Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Hebrews 12 and 14, he said, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Matthew 5 and 8, he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I'm concerned today because I see something happening across the land. I see so many people who are becoming drunk on the pleasure of this life. Music, television, gambling, psychics, Christians who are filled up with junk, allowing things in their homes and lives that are grieving the Holy Spirit. And then they wonder why they don't have the power of God. In Luke 21 and 34, he said, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts should be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day comes upon you unawares." Now listen, friend, the devil, he's deceived many of God's people into believing that if something is funny, then it's not wrong. So you watch these sitcoms, and they're the most filthy, ungodly, perverse things that you can watch on television, filled with perverseness and ungodliness, and they're ridiculing Christianity continuously. But because it's funny, Christians will sit and watch it and laugh because it's funny. Somebody said, "Oh, that, I wouldn't do that." Well, listen, you would be amazed who does. You know, Facebook, you know, it's amazing. There's some things I would not put on Facebook. I'll tell you right now. But it's almost like people think Facebook is the line to hang out all your laundry. And people will tell you everything they watch and everything that has. Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And then they'll talk about praying and talk about God. They just got through talking about watching the Vampire Diaries or watching some other ungodly thing, you know, and watching these shows that are coming on now. They got this show coming. I think it started already, called Teachers.
Oh, it made me mad. It made me mad. It's vulgar.
Yeah.
It's vulgar, and I feel sorry because teachers who are doing their best to try to teach our children now are being, they're just being lumped all in with the rest of us. You know, they've already ridiculed Christianity. Now they want to go after the teachers and they want to destroy the morality of the teachers. And so now they're ridiculing the teachers and they're turning all the teachers into sluts.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's what's happening on television. And you know, but a lot of people will look, will watch and laugh, and because it's funny, they will open their mouth and they will drink the poison. Because it's funny. Listen, I don't care how funny it is, poison is poison. And if you drink it, it'll kill you. I don't care if it tastes like Kool-Aid, it will still kill you. I don't know how many people followed Jim Jones and drank the Kool-Aid. I don't care what it tasted like. It might have tasted good going down, but it still killed them.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I don't care how funny it is. Filth is filth. Sin is sin. Amen. And you have to have some discernment. I told you the other day that in this day, this hour that we're living in, you're going to have to make up your mind that you're going to live pure and you're going to live holy. You're going to live sanctified lives. You're going to sanctify your eyes. You're going to sanctify your ears. You're going to separate yourself unto holiness. And if that means you got to cut off the cable, you better cut off the cable. If you can't keep away from those sites, you better turn off the internet. I don't know what you got to do, but you got to do what you got to do to live a holy, sanctified life. If we're going to see His power, we have to have holiness. Sin is sin. Filth is filth. Perversion is perversion. It doesn't matter how funny it is. Another deception that kind of sneaks in is this. Well, it's okay to watch it if I would never do it myself. Now, see, you watch it and say, well, you know, now this logic, I hear it all the time. I hear people say they'll be watching somebody in there in an adulterous situation, you know, but they'll, or they're a murderous situation, somebody's killing somebody, somebody's doing something horrible to somebody, whatever, and they say, oh, it's just a movie. It's just a movie. It's not real.
Evil.
Science fiction, demons all over the place, you know, demons coming out of everything, people turning into demons, people turning into wolves, people turning into all kinds of animals, you know, and they say, well, it's just a movie, friend. What difference does it make if it's just a movie? It's what you're allowing in your eye gates, in your ear gates. It doesn't matter if it's just a movie. It's just like going downtown and opening the door into some salon or some place or some house of ill repute and watching them in action. You didn't get a market for this, did you? I'm going to tell you, friend, if we want to have a day of God's power, if we want to have the manifestation of the power of God where you can cast out devils, I'm going to tell you something. I've known people that have tried to cast out devils, and when they tried to cast out the devil talked back to him and said, who do you think you are? He said, I know what you're doing. I know that life you're living. I know what you watch and what you listen to. Listen, you won't want to have power over the devil if you live like the devil.
Right.
Did I say that? How do you think Samson could have power to be strong against the enemy if he's going to sleep with the enemy? It was only the grace of God and it wasn't favor, it was grace, it was mercy. Was mercy.
So much mercy.
If we're going to see the glory of God, if we're going to see a day of God's power, there must be holiness. Holiness in the church. There must be, number three, and I'm almost done, there must be prayer. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, you know the scripture said, if my people which are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, my people. He didn't say the world. He said, my people. He deals with his people first. He said, my people called by my name, Christians, followers of Christ. will humble themselves and pray, seek my face. Now, I don't know about you, but this is the way I feel about it. I want the power of God in my life. I want the power of God in my life in my house. I want it at Walmart. I want it in church. I want it wherever I go. And in order to have the power of God in my life wherever I go, I got to live a life consistent with the presence, the person, and the power of God. You're not going to get the power of God living a life inconsistent with the presence of God. You can't live like water, because water and oil don't mix, and expect to mingle with the power of God. You've got to be oil. You've got to be of the same nature. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I ain't mad at nobody but the devil. 2 Chronicles 7:1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, and it consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Prayer. 1 Kings 18:36-39. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. When did it fall? After the man of God prayed. In a day of God's power, faith explodes. Glory to God. I said, in a day of God's power, faith explodes. When God's power is in manifestation, faith is easy. It's easy to believe for a miracle for yourself when you see miracles popping all around you. It's easy to believe for your son, your daughter to be saved when you see 15 or 20 people over on this side and their son and their daughter just got saved. It's easy to believe for miracles, signs, and wonders when you see miracles, signs, and wonders popping up all around you. See, in a day of God's power, faith explodes. In a day of God's power, the supernatural becomes natural, and miracles and signs and wonders are the order of the day, and hard things become easy. The Holy Spirit flows freely, and sinners are convicted of their sin, and the saints live holy lives. Glory to God.
The man named Smith Wigglesworth. Do you know Smith Wigglesworth would not even read the newspaper? There's a man named Lester Summerall, and Lester Summerall's a mighty man of God. He's with the Lord now. But Lester Summerall was a powerful man of God. He would go to visit Smith Wigglesworth, whom we know through history as who was called the Apostle of Faith, who raised somewhere around anywhere from 16 to 19 people from the dead. Among other things, documented miracles. He told one guy one day, he was staying in the house, he told the guy, the guy had a pig leg, had a pig instead of a foot. He told him, go down tomorrow and get you a pair of shoes. The guy went down to the store the next day. He sat down, he had that pig there, that guy looking at his foot. You know, he said, I want a pair of shoes. He's like, well, you know, he didn't quite know how to handle that. You know, he said, just give me a pair of shoes. Whatever, just bring me a pair of shoes. 10, bring me a pair, size 10. Whatever, he brought the shoes back, the guy put that pig down and it grew a foot.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He's praying for one man, he's concerned about him, he's praying for him, the guy died. The guy died. He came home, they told him, they said, Smith, his wife said, Smith, said, he's dead. He can't die. He's headed down the road. He's going to go to his house. She said, Smith, I said he's dead. Leave him alone. No. He goes to the guy's house. He grabs the guy. He picks him up out of bed, puts him up against the wall. He said, walk. Guy falls down the wall.
He picked him up, put him up. I said, walk in the name of Jesus. Now the third time, he takes off walking. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, you can get this history. It's documented. His wife died. His wife died. She's laying in the coffin. He goes in there. He pulls her up out of the coffin. He said, come back. She said, Smith. She come back. She come back from the dead. She said, Smith, let me go. My work is done. And then he put her back in the coffin.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
You can read it. Go read the book, Ever Increasing Faith. Ever Increasing Faith, Apostle of Faith. Read it. You'll be astounded. This is the God we serve, and this is one man who believed in God. He wouldn't even read the newspaper. And Lester Sumrall came to his house one day, had the newspaper under his arm. They opened the door. Smith Wigglesworth standing there. He said, you can come in. He said, but you can't come in without. He wouldn't even let him bring the newspaper in. He would scold you if you winked at somebody. Because the Bible said, he that winketh causeth sorrow. Tell the truth.
Amen.
Tell the truth. He's sitting in a railroad car one day. He's sitting there, and all of them just sitting there. And he said, all of a sudden, these sinners, they're sitting in there, and they go, they jump up. They said, sir, you convict me. And he led him to the Lord. Why did he convict him? Because he lived with God. He walked with God. He lived a sanctified, separated, holy life that God honored. And God was with him because he was with God. We need a day of God's power. We serve that same God. We serve that same miracle-working God. We serve that same Jesus. We got that same Holy Ghost power on the inside of us. He's not changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we're going to see a day of God's power, we're going to have a spiritual hunger. We're going to have holiness. We're going to have prayer. It will never happen without it. But I'm telling you, in spite of what's happening in the earth today, and there's some things coming, I'm telling you, I don't say this because I'm trying to instill fear in anybody, but I say this because I'm responsible as a watchman on the wall to tell you that things are going to happen, bad things are going to happen, hard things are going to happen. And God is telling me to tell you in this year, in 2016, you better walk closer to God than you ever have in your whole life. And you're going to have to fight your way there. You're going to have to push your way through. Not through the unwillingness of God, not through the reluctance of God, but through your flesh and through this worldliness. There's such an atmosphere of ungodliness and perversion and perverseness. I don't know about you, but it makes me angry to think that I would walk into a store and I'm going to go into a bathroom and I don't know if it's going to be a girl in there or if it's going to be a man in there. It just makes me angry just to think that our society has gone that crazy. It just makes me angry to think that. But you know what? I can't do anything about it, but what I can do is live closer to God than I've ever lived and seek His face with a whole heart and believe that in spite of it all, God is still God, and He is going to give us a day of His power. Come on, stand to your feet all over this house. I want you to pray right now. I want you to lift your voice. I want you to lift your hands. And I want you to ask God for a day of His power. For Grover Beach Pentecostal Church of God. For Central Coast. For California. God, we need a day of Your power. God, You did it. You did it in Pensacola, Florida. God, You did it for Smith Wigglesworth. Lord, You did it, Lord. For Elijah. You did it for Isaiah, God. Lord, You did it on the day of Pentecost, Lord God. You did it, oh God, in Azusa Street. Lord, and You have not changed. You've not lost any power. You still want to save the sick, save the lost, and heal the sick, and raise the dead. You still want to do miracles and signs and wonders. We still serve a supernatural miracle working God. Lord, and we're hungry and we're thirsty for your presence. We're hungry and we're thirsty for your power. And we're not satisfied with anything less than a visitation of the glory of God. We're not satisfied with anything less, Lord, than power from on high, God. We want power to heal the sick, power to cleanse the lepers, power to raise the dead, power to cast out devils. We want the power of the Holy Ghost in our life, Lord. You have my
hungry, conviction about reaching out for the fuller things of God, conviction about what's available to us that we haven't reached yet, conviction about the anointing that God desires to pour out upon us, conviction that we can have more. Hallelujah. In the day of thy power, thy people shall be willing. Thy people shall be willing. When God began to visit Pensacola, Florida, I believe it was in 95, and he began to pour out his spirit, people started coming from all over the world. Now, there were a lot of people that ridiculed that move of God, people that criticized it. But can I tell you something? When God starts moving, people want to be where God is healing the sick. People want to be where miracles are happening. Benny Hinn comes to town and 30,000 people show up. It's not because Benny Hinn's there. It's because they see Jesus healing the sick.
Amen.
It's because they feel the presence of God. Benny Hinn is God's instrument to bring that with him and to introduce them to that. He's a worshiper. He loves God. He honors God. Lifts up Jesus. And when Jesus is lifted up, the glory of God shows up. And the presence of God. I've been there. I've seen that. I understand that. It's not just because of that person. It's because God is manifesting himself. And when God manifests himself and his power is manifested, people willingly do what they were reluctant to do. Because they see how good God is. And they want to serve him. And they willingly let go of stuff that they wrestled and struggled with and fought with and battled with. Willingly turn off certain things. It's amazing when I see young converts, when young converts come to the Lord, and they've just come to the Lord, you know what they want to know? How can I live holy? How can I live holy? And we teach them, early on, we teach them how to live a separated life and how to cleanse themselves from the flesh and from the world and separate, come out from among them and be separate. And you know, they're so happy to do that because they're so thankful for God saving them. They want to be free from all that. They want to be separate from all that. But then along the way, you come along and you serve the Lord for a while and you start picking this up and picking that up. And now you watch this and you listen to that and then I can preach the message, the same message, and I can preach this message, and the young convert would be going, hallelujah, holy God, praise the Lord. And then the Christian over here has been serving the Lord for a while, they let stuff get in their life, they're like, I don't know if it's that strict, you know. I don't know if you have to be that holy, you know. I mean, you know. I went to a church one time, and I tell you, I preached, and when I preached, I dealt with harlequin romance, I dealt with all kinds of stuff, I'm going to tell you something, God sent revival to that church, but you know what, before he sent revival, he cleaned the church.
Amen.
And I talked about all their worldly music. I said, you sit out there in the parking lot, you listen to the world, you got the world's music on in the parking lot, you come into the church, you want to sing God's music, you want God to bless you, you want God's power in your life. And I said, but you go home and you got 3 godly listening albums, and the rest is all country, or the rest is all pop, or the rest is all world, or it's all world, or whatever. Hey, you know what? They started coming to church. They started telling, started standing up and testifying. They said, you know what? What he said is true. I went home, cleaned out all my CDs. You know what? I had like 3 that were Christian. The rest was all the world. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, if we want the power of God, church, if we want his power, and I know we do, it's going to take a separated, cleansed, holy life. We're a separated people, a peculiar people. Yeah. That we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, if you still love me and you appreciate this word tonight, let's give the Lord some praise.
Yes,
hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are we doing? You know what we're doing? We're creating an environment for the presence and the power of God. We're creating an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit feels welcoming. He is, after all, the Holy Spirit. And he wants to come to an atmosphere that's like him. Hallelujah. Oh, Radavashata. Can we one more time as we're dismissed, can we just tell him that we want him in this church? Can we just tell the Holy Spirit we want him in this church? Holy Spirit, we want you in this church. We want you in our own lives. We want you in our homes. We want you to direct us. We want you to correct us. We want you to instruct us. We want you to empower us. We want you to convict us. We want you in all your many facets. We want you to come and fill this house with your glory and the power of God.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Well, turn around and shake somebody's hand. Tell them that you love them. Glad that they came to church.